Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to be talking about early ice pike, because it is that time of year when you get out and the water just starts getting hard and you can go out there and start getting some big ones. You know, me and Josh have done some ice fishing in the past. I've done quite a bit of it, but I think our resident expert who's really grew up on the hard water is Mitch, growing up in Minnesota. For all you Minnesota boys and you northern boys, you know what it is.
Go Bikes.
Yeah, God. Jeez. But I knew I shouldn't have said that.
Go Bikes.
I know. Stop it. Anyway.
All the Green Bay guys just had a stroke.
I know.
Right. Good.
You know, Chicago's not liking it much. But anyway, so early ice pike. Of course, we're going to talk about some of the things that we do when we get on the water, how to find fish, things like that. I think it's going to be a really good podcast. Because it's something that, you know, guys are looking to, when the fishing stops, and you're starting to wait for that ice to freeze up, you finally got that early ice.
Yeah. And the great thing about pike, you know, because a lot of people, especially here in Colorado, they don't like pike.
Why?
They eat their trout, their precious trout. Well, you know, all of us, we like all fish, of course, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with pike. In fact, I
released... Fish with teeth are pretty cool.
Yeah, that kind of is the kicker right
there. That's why we don't mind Mackinac.
Right. Yeah. There's one cool trout for you. Well, and the awesome thing about pike, there's a chance at some giant fish.
Yeah.
Sure, you know, a lot of lakes in the Midwest have a lot of small hammer handles, you know, 18-inch fish, and they're almost a nuisance, but... Let me tell you, there's some tanks roaming around, and when you land one of those, you know you've got something, and that's cool.
Yeah.
So do you call it a northern, or do you call it a pickerel?
I've always called it a northern.
So who calls it a pickerel?
You're Canadians.
Canadians?
Yeah.
Green Bay fans?
Yeah, sure. You betcha.
Yep. Green Bay fans and Canadians?
Yeah. So that, you know, it's
don't you know.
And you know, actually, there's a different strain of northern that's a true pickerel.
Really?
Yep. But commonly in Canada, people call them pickerels. But northern for me.
Northern.
Yeah. Out here in Colorado, everybody calls them pike.
When I was up fishing in Canada, I called them northerns, and it was just fine.
Yeah, they're northerns. They're northerns.
They didn't care.
Yeah.
They didn't send you back.
And when I was at the lodge, it was Albany Lodge, actually. I was up there several years ago. But I told them I was going northern fishing. They knew what I was talking about, so...
There you go.
There you have it. Anyway.
what are those ones that look like a bourbon?
No, we're not talking that.
What are they, though? I don't know anything about them. I mean, is that also something that, because I see they usually go hand in hand. Like, if you're catching bourbon, you're catching pike.
No. Stop it. Anyway, let's...
I know nothing about
early ice. Let's come on.
We'll talk about
you. We've been talking for 5 minutes and we haven't even talked about ice fishing yet. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so... So let's get into it. Okay. So it is one of my favorite things to do, and I wait for that first ice as soon as it's safe. So a lot of people, you know, 4 inches is good safe ice, and we're not going to get into ice safety. You know, everybody, if you're going out on the lake, be safe. Look up all the things you can do to increase your safety, and don't go down, don't go through the ice. But anyway, enough of that. Let's get into the fishing. And, you know, there's really two ways to go after pike on the ice, and one's with tip-ups, and the other's jigging. They're super aggressive. Mm-hmm. So jigging works great. And I'm talking flashy, you know, cast masters, spoons, things with rattles even. It can really attract those fish and bring them in. And, you know, they're curious. They will come. A lot of people even... When you drill holes, it can bring fish in.
That's true.
So what I like to do is set up my tip-ups. Out here in Colorado, we can fish two lines all year long. I know back in Minnesota, ice fishing, you can fish two lines. So say you've got, you know, two or three people, you can have three or four, five tip-ups out, and even one person jigging, kind of being the attractor, mm-hmm. To bring them in. And then you've got your landmines set up all around you.
How far? Okay, so we talked tip-ups, though. Before we get too far, what kind of tip-ups? Do you use the ones that cover the holes, or do you use the traditional old, the ones that cross the holes?
You know, it really doesn't matter. You know, they both function, the functionality is the same, but pretty much all my tip-ups are the ones that cover the hole.
Me because, too, because I don't like it freezing up.
Yeah, it helps.
That's the biggest thing.
Yep, it helps.
Especially if it's blowing across the lake just a little bit of that top cover of snow gets in the hole, starts plugging it up. It's just, you know, for years they didn't even have those, the ones that cover the holes.
Yeah.
And but I think that they work great.
Well, here's the other thing too. One time I had the AquaView and I started popping holes looking for pike in this kind of shallow bay. It was probably 10 feet deep, crystal clear water. But I was drilling holes and then dropping my AquaView down and checking it out. Sure enough, I could see the light beaming down through my 4 inches of clear ice like nothing at each hole. So how much does that affect, you know, the fish and spooking them or, you know, keeping them away from your rig? But that's another benefit too, I think, of the covered, the round
tip-ups. Keeps that light from coming through.
So I assume your tip-up is where you put meat?
Yeah. So everybody, I'm just going to assume that everybody knows what a tip-up is when we're talking tip-ups. So we don't spend a bunch of time, you know, going through how it works and everything. It's real simple and basic. And if you don't know, look it up and you'll see. You know, watch some videos. There's all kinds of info out there. But really, it's 40 to 60 pound black Dacron tip-up line is what you use as the main line. Then a swivel. And then I like to go with Berkeley Prospect 100% fluoral leader material. So you got to order it online. A lot of stores don't have it. It's really more for saltwater applications, but it comes in 60 pound test.
60 pound.
And out here in Colorado, our lakes where there's pike, they're extremely clear.
Gin clear.
Yeah, like HDTV clear. It's awesome.
It is crazy.
It can be a lot of fun, but it can also, you know, if like back in the Midwest, no one uses fluorocarbon on their tip-ups. They'll use 7-strand, you know, leader wire to a quick strike rig, and usually the water's so stained, it doesn't stop the fish. But I kind of question if everybody's stuck in that using the
wire. Yeah, what if they were using that?
What if you were using fluorocarbon? Right. Would it increase your bite?
So I think it would. It's not going to hurt it.
I tell you.
And the reason you're going that big, though, too, is because it's like that leader. Because those fish, you know, the northerns, pike, pickerel, whatever you want to call them. I can't remember where we stopped with that. But they, you know, they mouthful of teeth that you definitely need that abrasion resistance a little bit stronger line.
So I started going with the 60-pound fluorocarbon years ago. Ran out of it. Never had one fish bite me off. I bought some 30-pound P-line back in the day, and because that's all they had. It was the heaviest fluorocarbon they had. So I bought it. Sure enough, there goes a flag. I got all excited, ran up to it. As soon as I grabbed my line and started pulling the fish in, just like a razor blade, nothing, gone.
Yeah.
Sliced right through it like nothing. So that's where I'm at, the 60 pounds. It's got to be 60 pounds. I've never lost a fish, never had a bite through. I mean, you might get a little abrasion on it, but it doesn't bother the strength at all. But I think if you go lighter than that, you're going to lose fish. And what's more disappointing than waiting all that time and getting a big pig to come in and then you lose it at the end? No, we're going to close the deal.
No, you're used to that.
Well, and I would
Josh
assume
is you, used to that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Usually because my netter is not so good. But the I would assume you get some sort of rubbing on the edge of the hole as well. And
typically, like with a tip up, you know, the majority of that line is going to be the Dacron line, right, which it's kind of like nylon. It's almost like a
braid,
like a cord.
Really strong.
Yeah. I don't think you'd ever have an issue with, you know, ice bothering it or anything like that. It's more just watching out for those teeth. That's where I'm going so heavy.
Yeah.
So real quick, let's kind of back up. For me, there's two great locations that, you know, you should look for if you're in your lake where you're trying to, you know, especially with tip-ups. One would be like right on the edge of a bay where you've got your main lake and then the bay. It's going to have two corners where that bay starts. You know, some are more sharper than others. Some are pretty gradual, but a good sharp edge
that
where
transition.
A bay starts. Yeah, and from the deep basin of the lake up into that shallow bay, that is a primo spot. And it's essentially just like with walleyes.
How shallow?
Well, I've caught
5 feet.
I've caught most of my big pike at like 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, five feet. 6 feet.
I know that when we've been out, we'll look for that transition. We'll set up 5, 7, 8 feet.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty shallow.
You go any less? 3 feet?
I have, but it's still, it's that area, you're right there. So, you know, in our spots too, if a pike's going to be 15 feet away from the bait, it's so clear, you can see it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Whether, you know, you're in 3 feet of water or 5 feet of water, yeah. I don't think that difference in locations, because you're right on the corner of the bay. That's what you want to find. And look on your lake maps and find that and go try it, because that's where the pike are hanging out in the fall. And they're just like walleyes and everything else, they're still in that same late fall open water areas where the fish are. That's where they're going to be at first ice. Mm-hmm. Same with the pike.
And make sure you get back to me on that, because I want to give the listeners a little tip on how to find that without drilling a bazillion holes.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So I'll go ahead and finish up.
Can't you see?
No.
I mean, if it's that clear and it's that shallow.
No, because the way the ice cracks and stuff, you can't.
Well,
you can a little bit.
You're on top of the ice with snow on it most
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah.
So you don't know how deep it is right underneath you.
Well, I'll give him a trick here in a minute after he gets through some of that.
Yeah, real quick. The other location. So that's a great location. The other location would be in that bay and find your weed line.
Uh-huh.
And again, sometimes it's easier than other times, you know, with you know, if you've got an aqua view, that really helps, you know, searching for weeds. But a lot of times people just keep drilling holes where they know they're weeds and going out deeper typically, or the weed line, until they find that weed line. And then what a primo spot to put a tip up and let it sit. So there, because the pike are just going to cruise that edge, just like a lot of fish. You know,
well,
like
that's kind of the story of pike, right? Pike really relate to weed lines. I mean, whether it be spring, summer, fall.
You bet.
Ice, and they pike really like to ambush.
They like to ambush. Yeah, they do.
Yep. And they're aggressive. The other fun thing about pike fishing and going specifically for pike like this is the bite can go all day. Of course, it's prime time, morning and evening, just like, you know, with a lot of species. But pike will stay aggressive all day long. So it's a great thing to do if you're going out fishing for the whole day, you know, sunrise to sunset, which we do a lot, before and after even. Go for your walleyes in the those prime bite times. But all day long, you can have some good, hot pike fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And stick with it.
Yeah.
So let everybody know a good trick.
So if you're using, now we use Vexlars, right? That's like a sonar that you use just like you would on a boat,
flashers.
Right? Yeah, it's a flasher. Mm-hmm. It's a depth finder. I mean, you put it in, it tells you how deep you are, right? And it shows fish coming in and things like that. But one of the tricks that we do is on the ice, all it needs is a conduit. Right, to be able to shoot through the ice. And all that is so when you're looking at your lake map and you're walking up and you're like, I think it's right about here, all you do is pour a little water on it, put the transducer, you don't need to drill a hole, put the transducer on it, turn it up, and it'll shoot right through that ice and tell you how deep you are.
Yep.
And it's 24 feet here, move 30 yards, it's 8 feet here. What, you know what I mean? Now you know you can start moving in without drilling a bunch of holes.
Right.
Yep.
And do you guys have a handheld auger, or are you guys more advanced and use the gas-powered auger?
I have a handheld, but he's got the gas. Early ice, no big deal, right? Because you can shoot right through it. But like when we go up to Granby where that ice is 20-some inches thick.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mitch, bring your power auger, you know, because, I mean, I've never bought one because he has one.
Yeah.
And I'm going with him.
You know what I mean? Works great.
Hey, thanks for buying that.
Hey, good
job.
No problem.
So jigging. Let's talk about jigging, because jigging, you have the tip-ups. You'll run those little soldiers out just like planer boards when you're out there on a boat.
Pretty much,
yeah. I mean, they're your little planer board. They're working spread out, giving you some stuff. I love it.
Why does he make them sound good? They're little planer board on
it. Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't
because I was looking at you. But anyway, so jigging is I think that's a great way to get them. Talk about what you're using, you know, jigging.
You know, I've got my jigging rod that I use just for, you know, for walleyes, everything. It's usually only 8 pound fire line, 10 pound fire line is what I usually run, or mono on my ice rig. But I'll tie on that same 60-pound leader, that same fluorocarbon leader, because you got the same issue, you know, with the teeth. So, you know, it seems like the bigger, the better, the more attraction. So I've had plenty of pike come in.
Story.
And I've had plenty of pike come in, though, and just swim right on by it. Like, they're not taking it. But then guess what? They swim off 20, 30 yards over to one of my tip-ups with a dead bait or a water dog.
Right.
Or in the Midwest, of course, you can use live suckers, big minnows and stuff, chubs. Where out here in Colorado, west of the Continental Divide and over 7,500 feet, you can't use live aquatic bait.
So water dogs.
Yeah, so we're stuck with frozen dead suckers.
Sucker meat.
And water dogs.
Shad meat.
Yeah, and if you don't know what a water dog is, it's basically a glorified salamander, yeah. But they work great.
They do.
They work great.
Well, they look more or less like minnows down there.
Yeah.
You know, they have the same tail action.
Well, they move. You know?
They crawl around. It's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. I run quick strike rigs with, I take two treble hooks and tie them onto that that 60-pound fluorocarbon, one on the very end, and then another one up about 3.5 inches, 4 inches right in there. And each treble hook goes into the bait, and then, of course, it goes up to your swivel and everything. Well, that bait's just hanging there in the water, you know, maybe a foot off the bottom, mm-hmm. halfway up the water column. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter.
When you're only in 5, 6, 7 feet of water, yeah. They'll cruise. They're just cruising looking for a meal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They'll see it. Well, I've gone to check my, I'm like, geez, that thing's been sitting there for 3 hours and no flag. What's going on? You know, did my water dog get off or something? And then I'll peek down in the hole and sure enough, he's just hanging there like a puppet.
I know.
Motionless.
Yeah.
Like,
Don't eat me.
If I just hold still, maybe this will all go away.
I look like a stick. Yeah. I'm a stick.
Well, I haven't seen it. But I think what happens is when Mr. Pike comes rolling in and starts eyeing him up,
yeah.
I think he can't help but get a little nervous and start squirming around trying to get out there, and that closes the deal just like that. Yeah. They can't resist it. They're gonna eat it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a couple of my little tips and tricks that I like to do. You know, we deal with a lot of wind. I know everybody in the Midwest deals with plenty of wind. Well, one of the things, and you don't think about it, so just think about this next time. So when you got your tip-up set up, when I get a flag and it goes, and I've got a fish going, and I'm going to pull the tip-up up and grab my line and start bringing in the fish, I will swing around mm-hmm. downwind of it. Mm-hmm. I pay attention to the way the wind's blowing. Well, it's stupid, right? Like, but look how slick this is. When you start handline fish, and if you've never done it, you're pulling up all this line. Who knows how far that pike's taking your line? And you know, there's 100 yards of that Dacron line in the water, and you're bringing them in. Well, it becomes quite a mess. Well, if you're not paying attention, and the wind's blowing good, and it's blowing your face
right back in your hole.
It's all over you. It's all wrapped up. I promise you, just keep your back to the wind, and mm-hmm. as you're pulling that fish up, it'll blow the line away and keep it all open.
It's a huge,
and
easy. It's a huge tip. Because you'll do it. You'll do it, and it seems like I always go into the wind. Why? I'm an idiot, right? And I'm like, okay, next time I am not doing that. Right back to doing it. So after years, I finally got to the wind at the back. Wind at the back as you're running to the hole. Keep on wind at the back.
You know the thing with the round ice fishing hole? There's not really a front or a back or a side.
Yeah.
It's all kind of the same. So it doesn't matter which side you go
it
to.
It doesn't.
You start fighting fish. So
it's weird.
The other thing, and years ago, I read some articles on pike and how the bait's sitting in the water. Like, say we've got our dead suckers. They're frozen, but we thaw them out and they're dead.
They work good.
Hey, springtime. We're going to talk about this again, late ice pike fishing, because the locations change up a little bit.
And mac.
But
we're going to talk mac to another time, another podcast. Because anyway.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm serious, dude. My God.
Those are the ones I'll take a little rest and, you know.
Yeah, you're a baby. It's so fun. Anyway, let's get this finished up.
Here's the deal. So I've read articles and they say it does not matter if that bait's standing straight up, if it's upside down, if it's like cocked 45. You know, it doesn't matter. A dead bait, the pike will just take it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I like to go the next level and just dot all my I's across my T's.
Consistency. We have a podcast about that.
Yes. And maybe it's just in my mind, but my little ice tackle box, it has little bearings that I bought at Home Depot, and they're kind of heavy. They're not real big. They're smaller than a marble, but they've got some good weight to them. Well, with that quick strike rig, it's hard to get your bait just to hang perfectly straight.
It's all crazy.
Yeah, it wants to hang, you know, with its head up, kind of. So I'll just jam in a few of those bearings into its mouth for a little ballast and balance that baby out so she just floats nice and straight. And you know what? I don't care if it helps or not. I feel better about it.
Yeah, you feel like you're accomplishing something.
Could you use a split shot?
Not big enough. I mean, you could. Yeah. And I have tried that.
You'd have to pack up maybe an egg sinker.
Yeah, I think the first time I did this out on the ice and all I had were split shots.
Yeah. And used a whole tray.
I think his whole bottom lip had like five split shots pinched to his lip. And he looked like one of those hood
like
rat.
Like a snap weight.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. Yeah. But
yeah, I tell you though, if you haven't gone specifically for pike, go for it because it is a lot of fun.
You know what? We haven't shot any videos out on the ice. We did up in Granby, but I don't think anything ever made it to our website or YouTube or anything. But we're going to do that this year with pike. We'll go out there and we'll do it. Let's do a quick tip up YouTube video.
Totally.
So look into that and then how we're baiting them up and all that stuff.
Yeah. One last kind of key thing and then we'll wrap this up. Cause this is pretty basic fishing. There's not a whole lot to it. I'm just putting in your time and you'll get rewarded with some big fish. Mm-hmm. I promise you. But the other thing, the whole point of the quick strike rig, it's got the two treble hooks and you know, a lot of people will fish tip ups with a single hook, live bait and everything. And like walleyes and stuff, they'll come take the bait. And it's almost like Lindy rigging where you want to give them the bait, give them the line, let them take it, swallow it, and then set the hook. And well, you end up with a lot of deeply hooked fish.
Yeah.
Well, with the quick strike rig, it allows you, if that pike has the bait in its mouth, you can take him because he, you know, if he's running with
six hooks down there, trouble.
Yeah, he's got treble hooks in his mouth or real close to where, you go for it.
You save a lot of fish that way because the other ones end up.
Yeah,
you cut a lot of lines, you know, especially if you're having smaller fish that gut it.
So when I get up to my tip up, the flag's gone. The little T is my
spinning.
It's spinning. Mm-hmm. So because that fish is running with the bait. Mm-hmm. If I get up there and it's not moving at all, I know either that fish let go of the bait and it's laying there on the bottom and the mm-hmm. fish is gone, or he's just sitting there. Because they love to just sit there too. So he's got the bait in his mouth and he's waiting to really commit. All of a sudden, boom, then my T starts going spinning and then I can go ahead and just, you don't really set the hook, you just stop the fish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't want to yank it and potentially rip the bait out of his mouth and
you just
and
need
miss
to grab
him.
It.
Yeah,
hold it.
Just stop him.
He'll get the pressure.
If he's running, it's good. But do not go for the hook set if the fish isn't running with it.
Yeah.
So wait until it's spinning. If it doesn't spin, you know, slowly check, see if you feel any resistance and maybe then go for it. But if it's not spinning, I haven't caught one because they've dropped it, whatever.
Something's happened.
That's the key. If it's spinning, just go for it right away.
I think the whole key to this is get out.
Yeah,
get out there. Yeah. You know, ice fishing, get out there, Josh. Come on.
Well,
I'm so cold.
We'll get you some floaties.
I'm so nervous.
And for the record, I've never said any of those things.
You don't need to, buddy. You don't need to.
If the rest of you have woken up like I have at the end of this here podcast, we want to remind you guys to make sure you try to follow us on our podcast, locate us on iTunes, Spotify, or go to alleyesonfishing.podbean.com and go in there and rate us, leave a comment. That helps others find us. They know where to look for us. And that also is a way we can track, you know, who's listening or not who's listening, but how many people have listened. And so those are all good ways to locate us for future podcasts.
So, you know, I want to also take the time to shout out to some of our sponsors. You know, we really are selective in what we use, and we're pretty happy that we're teamed up with Berkeley and Abu Garcia and, you know, Ugly Stick Shakespeare, things like that. It's really good products that we use. You know, what we use is for a reason because we really enjoy the product. So I just want to make sure that they got some credit. So
yep. Hey, and everybody, check out our website on alleyesonfishing.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for fishing picks, articles, all kinds of fishing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So from all of us at All Eyes on Fishing,
have a good day.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss all of your favorite topics. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and check out our webpage and YouTube channel at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, helping you to fish the next level.